Today's episode is brought to you by Canva. We're all looking for ways to make an impact at work, but not all of us are skilled in visual design. Canva helps you get your point across, simply and beautifully. It's easy to design Canva presentations, docs, whiteboards, and videos. You start with a designer-made template and customize it with your content. Plus, add graphics, charts, and more from Canva's massive media library. Whatever department you work in, Canva is perfect for any task. Sales decks, hiring docs, marketing brainstorms, employee videos, you name it. Anyone at work can design with Canva. Start designing today at canva.com. Designed for work.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hears from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Brainstuff, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, Brainstuff, I'm Lauren Vogelbaum, and this is a classic episode of the podcast. Today's delves into the strange history of why we Americans have standardized tests for our middle schoolers' fitness. Of course, fitness is important to feeling good, but why the tests? Hey, Brainstuff, I'm Lauren Vogelbaum, and believe it or not, I was never particularly the athletic type. I have vivid middle school memories of being administered a standardized fitness test during gym class. I don't recall ever being taught how to do pull-ups or curl-ups, but I sure remember being tested on how many I could do in front of my class. The presidential fitness test was a battery of physical feats designed to assess the health of school-age American children. The test has since been retired and replaced by the less arbitrary and more forgiving physical fitness test known as FitnessGram, but it left a significant mark on scholastic history. It all started in the early 1950s when fitness activists Dr. Hans Krauss and Bonnie Pruden administered exercise tests to thousands of kids throughout the United States, Switzerland, Italy, and Austria. U.S. kids came up shockingly short. 58% of them failed the tests, compared to just 8% of the European kids. Then-President Dwight Eisenhower was not pleased. He took action by forming the President's Council on Youth Fitness in 1956 to seek out strategies for improving American kids' fitness scores. Concern mounted by the time John F. Kennedy took office. In 1960, he penned a Sports Illustrated op-ed about the perceived problem. An excerpt? "In a very real and immediate sense, our growing softness, our increasing lack of physical fitness, is a menace to our security." And so, in 1966, the Presidential Physical Fitness Challenge commenced, a competition of sorts designed to get kids excited about physical fitness as it related to military service. The challenge included activities like a softball throw, a long jump, and that dreaded pull-up, all meant to mimic military tasks like grenade throwing and ladder climbing. To earn the coveted physical fitness awards, kids would have to place in the top 85th percentile based on national standards. The problem with all this testing, which, by the way, was usually done in front of one's peers, was that, according to experts, it didn't resemble the Krauss-Weber tests in any way. Rather than focusing on core and arm strength and improved flexibility, the Presidential Physical Fitness Challenge simply reflected the goals and priorities of the country and people who had formed their fitness philosophy during training in World War II. Years later, in 2012, the test was finally abolished and replaced by a more comprehensive fitness program designed to support individual goals rather than prescribe a standard fitness regimen. The change was the result of decades of negative feedback from both students and teachers. Physical education teacher Joanna Faber told NPR, "The test was totally backward. We knew who was going to be last, and we were embarrassing them. We were pointing out their weakness." So where does that leave us now? And why are teachers still testing kids at all? We spoke with Marisol Vizzali, a San Francisco Bay Area physical education teacher and massage therapist. She said, "The reason for the tests, I believe, is basically to collect data so the state knows fitness levels of different demographics and counties, schools, cities, etc. But we teachers do our best to turn it into goal setting and teaching students about their bodies. We also turn it into awards for students with the most improvements or best scores to create some buy-in and get them motivated to be fit people." While the current program continues to focus on specific areas of fitness, there's a decidedly less militaristic approach to it. For instance, Vizzali says, there are different options for each of the five categories that are tested: cardiovascular fitness, muscular endurance, muscular strength, flexibility, and body composition, which is muscle-to-fat ratio. These options acknowledge different types of fitness far better than the original test did, taking into account the different ways kids' bodies work based on age and sex, and acknowledging that fitness is a spectrum. So, how many kids do well on this test? Vizzali said, "The number of kids that pass usually depends on the school. In Burlingame, California, for example, where I teach, most kids pass, I'd say 85%. But that has to do with a lot more than just our awesome physical education teachers." She explains that the kids in her community are really active outside of school, whereas in poorer areas, the number of kids that pass could be much lower for many reasons. Children might not be active outside of school due to lack of local programs, time, or funding. Punishing and humiliating tests certainly aren't the way to get kids in shape, but encouraging physical activity of some kind is important since it's been shown to help kids build cardio fitness, strong bones and muscles, and even reduce symptoms of anxiety and depression. According to the Centers of Disease Control and Prevention, only 21.6% of 6 to 19-year-old children and adolescents in the United States get 60 or more minutes of moderate to vigorous physical activity at least 5 days per week. But don't be discouraged. Any activity is better than no activity. There are lots of guides online to making fitness fun, even for the less coordinated among us. Today's episode is based on the article, "Could You Pass Your Kid's Middle School Fitness Test?" on HowStuffWorks.com, written by Michelle Konstantinovsky. BrainStuff is a production of iHeartRadio in partnership with HowStuffWorks.com and is produced by Tyler Klang. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Today's episode is brought to you by Canva. We're all looking for ways to make an impact at work, but not all of us are skilled in visual design. Canva helps you get your point across, simply and beautifully. It's easy to design Canva presentations, docs, whiteboards, and videos. You start with a designer-made template and customize it with your content. Plus, add graphics, charts, and more from Canva's massive media library. Whatever department you work in, Canva is perfect for any task. Sales decks, hiring docs, marketing brainstorms, employee videos, you name it. Anyone at work can design with Canva. Start designing today at canva.com. Designed for work.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, "Somebody's in the house," and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating Pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit TomboyX.com.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.